Shall we pray? Father, we give you glory and honor, worship and praise for the wonder of Jesus Christ that you have given each one of us as born-again Christians to receive, to realize, and to express through everything that we do in thought, word, and in deed. You have called us to make a choice to live Jesus and to explore the wonders of Him as your Spirit makes Him alive to us, Father. So we ask you to give us a growing revelation of your Son. We ask for His life to be manifested to us. We ask you to teach us how to live the life of Jesus, how to realize the life of Jesus, how to give expression to the life of Jesus, how to put on Christ, and how to proclaim Him in every situation and circumstance, because we are His body. Each one of us a living and growing member of the body of Christ. Enable us to understand, O God, how awesome is the potential in each one of our lives. We ask you to bless us with this revelation in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 5. Starting at verse 10. Today we're going to talk about living the life of Jesus. Living the life of Jesus. Because if you live the life of Jesus, you will die to self. If you live the life of Jesus, you will taste and see that He is good. If you live the life of Jesus, check Him out in the things you do every day. You will discover that there is a whole new universe of reality that you can receive and realize and express. So let's look at 1 John chapter 5. Beginning at the 10th verse. The one who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. The one who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the witness that God has borne concerning his Son. And the witness is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. I want to focus on two things. Verse 11, it says that the witness is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. It does not come by anyone else. It does not come by any other means. It only comes through the Son. And it says in verse 12, he who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. The life. The Greek word for life there is Zoe. And that life God has given us through the Son. That life cannot come to you by the law. It cannot come to you by any other means. It can only come to you through the person who is called the Son of God. It has to be manifested to you through Him. If you don't realize it through Him, you cannot have this life. Now, this life is not biological life. This life is not your soul life. This life comes to you only when you are born again. So when you are born again, God opened to you a new life. And you experience that new life in dramatic terms. It brought changes in your character and your nature. It brought changes in your thoughts. It gave you new desires. Bad habits were broken. In giving you the born-again experience, God demonstrated, God gave an evidence of what this life is. He manifested some measure of the fullness of Christ Jesus into you and me. And this measure of Christ Jesus in you and me demonstrates that there is a potential of new life to each one of us. And as Christians, you and I are being invited to give expression to this life that God has made available to us in Jesus Christ. It's very important for you and me to think of this, to discover it, and to see its development in our lives. Because we all want to live. And we want to live a life that is growing, because we know that the life that we have received while in the world is a life that is dissipative, it is passing away. People die. But God wants to give us a new kind of life, a life that He has given us in His Son. So how does God bring this life to us? He brings this life to us in the testimony of Jesus. It is the purpose of the entire scriptures to give us a living expression of this life that God wants to bring. The entire scriptures have been written so that we will realize new life. It's very important for us to understand that the Word of God, when received and understood in the right way, will result in you and me having new life. The evidence of Christianity is in the living, not in the knowing. It is in the living. It is not in the thinking, it is in the living. That's why Jesus said, I am the life. Life is lived. Life is not theorized. Life is not theology. Life is what you do every day. Life is what you speak every day. Life is what you manifest in your actions every day. Life is expressed through your character, your nature, your personality, through everything that you do every day. You can't bluff the life. So all of us can look at what we do every day, from morning till we go to bed. And if we have nightmares at night, we also know what's happening to us even when we are sleeping. All right? And if you have nightmares, there's something that is going wrong. All right? But the life is always there, and the life is there right before your eyes. You know how exactly you talk to your wife. You know how exactly you bring up your children. You know why exactly you do what you do. It can all be measured. To the Christian walk, the challenge facing the Christian church is the unveiling of the life of Jesus. It is not the unveiling of how you can live and how I can live. It is the unveiling of the life of Jesus. And the life of Jesus is very crucial to each and every one of us, because that is the challenge God is posing before us. So whatever form of ministry you and I undertake, being a father and a mother is a ministry. The challenge facing us is, what sort of life do we manifest in our homes? What sort of life is unveiled in our marriage? What sort of life is unveiled in the way we bring up our children? What sort of life do we live each and every day? So you and I are called to demonstrate that Jesus makes a difference. That is the responsibility you and I have. We can't just do what we want to do and say whatever we want to do. That option is not open to us, because God will judge us. Because every time we do something that is not of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are betraying Him. We are denying Him. And it's very important for us to understand that we can't go on doing this. So can we live the life of Jesus? Yes, we can. It is a growing process. And God tells us that He is developing the life of Jesus in us through a witness. That witness was released to us from the cross. 1 John chapter 5 verse 10 says that witness stands in spirit, water and blood. That word spirit is of the Spirit of Christ, the enabling to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. The water speaks of the rhema word, that means by which the voice of God, the witness of God is manifested to you, so that you can receive in that rhema word the spirit and life of Jesus. Blood talks about the covenant that God wants to establish with you. A covenant that He wants to build into your state of being in all eternity. A covenant that is going to define exactly what sort of a vessel you are before God. And in that covenant, God defines function. In that covenant, God defines the anointings that He is going to manifest in your life. And this covenant that God is developing in your life never stops growing. This covenant never stops growing. God is in the process of building and developing this covenant through you and me. So God is at work. And the way in which we check out the building of this covenant is in the way we live. Today we see that so much of Christianity is a lot of emotion. And people often think that emotion is the move of the Holy Spirit. That could be so, but most of the time it is not so. It's very simple to rationalize that because God is the truth. And the truth sets you free. It is in freedom and liberty that you discover what God has done with you. Is your life free? Is your life free from sin? Is your life being set free from sin? Are you able to do things you never thought you will do? Are these things manifesting in your life? If they are manifesting in your life, then God is doing a work inside of you. He is bringing in new life inside of you. And that new life is being built and being developed inside of you. You can check it out. Your thought processes are changing. Your ambitions change. Your desires change. Your personality changes. Your character changes. The way you speak changes. The way you do anything and everything changes. Your relationships change. Everything in your life is growing. I will repeat that. The life that comes from God grows, guys. So if you're not growing, that means you're dying. I know that in our physical body, we see the death of our flesh. But in our inward parts, the Bible says that we should be experience a reality of being renewed day by day. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians, or rather 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Right? Our inner man is being renewed day by day. God is doing a work inside of us. The Greek word for renew there is the Greek word metamorpho. It is actually talking about a transformation, a change of form. You remember in our science textbooks many, many years ago, for most of us here, we learned this word called metamorphosis, right? About how a tadpole became a frog, or rather how a caterpillar became a butterfly. So God is talking in those terms, all right? So the Christian life is very simple and very easy to verify. It is how you live. So are you experiencing that change, and is that change manifesting in your character and your nature? Is it manifesting in the way you live and do things? Is it manifesting in the way you pray? Is it manifesting in the way in which you are expecting things from God? There has to be this continuity of a growth process that is a testimony that you know Jesus. So the life of Jesus is something that is available to us in a witness, okay? And that witness God wants to develop. And the way He develops it is through the Word. The Word that He brings by revelation inside of you. The Word that brings into you the Spirit and life of Jesus. So the basic way in which God brings into you new things is through the voice of His Word. And what He is bringing inside of you is the Spirit and life of Jesus. So it's very important for you to understand, in order to understand the Word of God as a revelation in the Spirit and life of Jesus, you must see the Word of God through Jesus Christ. You have to see the Word of God in Jesus Christ. You have to see the Word of God manifested in the testimony of Jesus. If you see the Word of God as the law, you will be shut under the law, but you must see it in the fulfillment of the law. That in Jesus Christ, God wants to bring into you a realization that enables you to receive of His nature and His character. That enables you to put on the mind of Christ. So most of us here are Spirit-baptized people. We can function in this witness by praying in tongues. You can energize things as you pray in tongues. You can energize realities by the Spirit dimension of the witness inside of you. That's why the Spirit dimension of the witness inside of you is entirely expressed in an enabling. And this enabling enables you to energize things that are hidden in Christ. See, the Bible tells us In John 1:16, that of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. That realization is through the witness. And what God wants to build through that realization is the life of Jesus into you. So that you will live through Jesus and not try and live by yourself. That's what Galatians 2:20 is talking. Right? It is no longer I who live, but Christ who liveth in me. The life that I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Old King James Bible. The faith of the Son of God. And what God is proposing you to you is a very simple reality. If you and I can receive of the faith of Jesus Christ, we will do the things that we cannot do. Because faith is substance. And that substance results in an evidence. That evidence results in life lived. So Jesus declared, I am the life. If you know me, and if you are alive to me, then you will live the different life. There are no shortcuts in Christianity. The shortcuts will never work. History has already taught us that. There have been bitter lessons we have seen in church history. So we have to learn from the mistakes of the past and go into what God wants to bring forth in His Son. There is no other gospel than the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ explains Jesus into the lives of people. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ develops the fullness of Jesus Christ in the lives of people. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ brings the nature and character and thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ into human lives. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ manifests the faith and love of Jesus into human lives. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is communicated in the spirit and life of Jesus. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ enables us to have the mind of Christ. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ enables us to live Jesus in everything that we become, in everything that we do in thought, word, and in deed. There are several of you here who are called to ministry. High offices in ministry. I'm talking about fivefold offices in ministry. You're young fellows, you've got a whole life ahead of you. There are no shortcuts to going into ministry. You have to judge yourself and see if what is being manifested in you is of Jesus Christ. Would Jesus say what I just said? Would Jesus do what I just did? Would Jesus have spoken to my wife the way I just did? Would Jesus have lost his temper the way I did? Would Jesus have looked at another man and seen him as a worthless being? See, all this is part and parcel of what we call the life of Jesus. The life of Jesus thinks differently. The life of Jesus acts differently. The life of Jesus talks differently. The life of Jesus behaves differently. The life of Jesus relates differently. The life of Jesus does not do what so much of the human race spends doing every day. The life of Jesus does not waste its time doing useless things. The life of Jesus demonstrates a responsibility before God. Now you have a responsibility for your family, you have a responsibility for those who God has placed under your wings. You also have a responsibility to answer God's call in your life. But all that is only going to happen as you discover Jesus Christ. As you realize the life that He has given you through the cross. So blood is a manifestation of life. Water is a manifestation of life. Spirit is a manifestation of life. So God describes this life of Jesus in three different dimensions. Spirit, meaning the anointing to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And you can develop that enabling to do all things through Christ who strengthens you in everything you're doing every day, in your professions. Right? Jesus was trained for ministry in the carpenter's workshop. He worked his hands in wood. Now most people will not think that it's very spiritual to work your hands in wood. Today we work with computer screens, we work as professionals, we work as students, we work as teachers, we work in so many different capacities. Now we can work the way the world works, or we can work the way God would want us to work through Him, in Him, by Him. and for him. So in the process of learning how to work and live the life of Jesus, you will learn how to do things differently. You will practice your professions differently. You will relate to your colleagues differently. You will manifest the excellence of God through your life. And this is what is so great about the Christian professional. He has the potential of manifesting the brilliance of God through his life. But the brilliance of God comes through the life of Jesus. It comes through the character of Jesus. It comes through the mind of Christ. It doesn't come from the systems of the world in which we have been educated. And that's what you must understand. You see, Daniel stood heads and shoulders above those who were around him. That's what the Bible says. Right? Let's just look at that, right? Daniel chapter 1. God raised Daniel in the systems of the world. In fact, there was no worse system in the world than the system that lived in Babylon, right? So because Babylon represents the seat of the evil one. But in this, in the midst of the seat of the evil one, God raised this man called Daniel. Look at verse 9 of chapter 1. Now God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander of the officials. But before he gave him that favor, verse 8 says, but Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. He set himself apart from the system of the world. Verse 17. And as for these four youths, this is in this case it is Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, God gave them knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. Daniel even understood all kinds of visions and dreams. Verse 20. And as for every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king consulted them. Now the king consulted them not on spiritual matters. The king consulted them on things affecting his kingdom. In issues affecting his kingdom. And when he consulted them on those issues, the verse 20 says, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and conjurers who were in all his realm. 10 represents completion. They were completely above those who were of the world system. Even though those people who were of the world system were in partnership with Lucifer himself. Yet God raised this one man and set him apart in a totally different reality. Why did God write that story? He wrote that story so that we will get it into our heads that with Christ Jesus in us, we have everything that is above the system of the world. But so many of us still want to practice the systems of the world. So many of us want the system of the world to be the blessing that God gives us. And God is trying to tell the church over and over again, if you bring the world into the church, it will destroy you. The systems of the world are not the systems of God. The systems of God are systems that are going to be built inside of you in the knowledge of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. There's no ifs and buts about it. All right, so there is a law to the life that God has given us. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 2. There is a law that God has given us. And this is what it reads. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. What is this law saying? In order for you and me to be set free from the law of sin and death, you need to be in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit. You need to live in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit. If you don't live it, you ain't going to be set free. So prayer is not something you do every day. Prayer is life. Prayer is part of your life. Worship is part of your life. Reading the Word of God is part and parcel of the exercising of your life. You get up in the morning and you pray. Why do you pray? So that God will carry you throughout the day. That He will bring success in your life throughout the day. So that even if you go through difficult problems, you will see that you will overcome, and in the process of overcoming, your faith will be strengthened. Your life will be renewed. You will grow. You will grow. And as you grow, you will rise into a position where you can be of value to somebody else. You can be a blessing to somebody else. And in the process of being a blessing, you will demonstrate why Jesus came into the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. You have received this only begotten Son, and lo and behold, you live a totally different life. See, brethren, if we preach the gospel, we must live the gospel first. If you're not prepared to live the gospel, you have no business preaching the gospel. And if you attempt to do that, that means not living the gospel but attempting to preach the gospel, the devil will use you as his vessel, and he will use the words of the gospel to manifest the wrong spirit. So that's why it is so important that the Christian church understand that we have to develop this life that God has given us. So you make a mistake. Identify the mistake, address the mistake, pray in tongues and ask the Lord to release the life of Jesus, the character of Jesus, the thinking of Jesus that will enable you, the strength of Jesus, that will enable you not to repeat that mistake. The question is not the mistake. The question is whether you're willing to get out of that mistake. The question is whether you're willing to draw the life of God that is given to you in Jesus Christ and realize a new life, that go beyond the mistake. Go out of the mistake. Get out of the sin. That's what God wants us to do. And each of us is being challenged to do that. Because sin will always destroy, guys. Sin is a curse. If you don't bridle your tongue, you will bring destruction with it. So whenever you are faced with a difficult situation, you have a choice of speaking what will bring life or speaking what will bring destruction. If you sow destruction in your own family, you will reap destruction. If you sow destruction into your ministry, you will reap destruction. So you must always fix your eyes on Jesus and manifest what is good. Speak what is good. It's not easy, but you have God. You have the Creator of the universe abiding inside of you. You have the Lord through whom God created the whole universe, Jesus Christ, living inside of you. You have His witness by which He overcame the sin of the whole world manifested inside of you. And God is challenging you. Why don't you develop this witness? Why do you insist on developing the witness of your flesh? There are no solutions there. There are no answers in you using your temper and accusing people around you. Because as you accuse, others will accuse you, and it never stops. So we see the Middle East today. Both are nations that look to God. And both are nations that are manifested in the flesh. They live by a so-called law that none of them seems to even understand. And blood is flowing. The only solution to the Middle East is the Messiah, His witness and His testimony. And if they don't turn to Him, they're going to keep on killing themselves. That applies to anything in our own families. The only solution to a broken marriage is to bring Jesus into that marriage. If you keep on pointing at your spouse's faults, you will never stop. And your spouse will also pick your faults. And then there will be no reconciliation. So the option to live Jesus Christ is absolute. In our lives, we have to live Him. If we don't live Him, we are not going to grow. You cannot just grow by praying and going through the motions of a religious practice. Prayer must become your life. You pray because it is part and parcel of your life. You pray because God comes with you through that prayer throughout the day into every activity of your life. And when you are faced with a problem in your office, or you're faced with a discussion, or you're faced with some issue, the first thing you should do in your own heart is to pray. Very simple prayers like, God help me. Oh God, teach me. Enable me to understand. Enable me to know. Enable me what to do. Give me the strength. Give me the strength to overcome the accusations that others are making on me. Give me the strength to love. Give me the strength to forgive. Give me the strength to speak what is right and not react and manifest the same destruction that is being manifested against me. Have you noticed what comes out when you start quarreling? All kinds of words come out. Hello, you're going to be held accountable for those words. You're going to see the result of those words. You cannot curse your wife and think that she's going to be a blessing to you. It'll never work. I mean, that's ridiculous. You can't curse your children and then expect them to be a blessing. You can't spoil your kids and then expect them to be responsible. You can't live the wrong kind of life and then expect your children to understand what the right kind of life is. We'll just send them to church. I will live whatever life I want, but we'll just send them to church. Won't work. Because when they come home, they're immersed in your spirit. Because you are the parents. If you are an adulterous man, then that spirit of adultery will manifest. That spirit of fornication will manifest in your home. Because these are things that are telegraphed in the spirit realm. There are demons assigned to fornication. There are demons assigned to alcoholism. There are demons assigned to drugs, any kind of substance abuse. And those demons mean to destroy. So you must understand that you just can't live the life you want to live. You have to live responsibly before God. You can't just do whatever you want to do because nobody is watching. You are being watched in more ways than you understand. It is very easy to scold your brother and tell him, why isn't he going to church? The question God will ask you is, so what have you done about that? Just how many days did you fast and pray for that? We always take the easy way out, right? Giving a lecture and telling the poor bloke that he doesn't know whether he's coming or he's going. That's the easy part. Any donkey can do that. But we won't choose the right way of praying for him, of standing in the gap and bringing him before the mercy seat of God. We don't take those kind of things, right? We take the easy way out. Just give him a lecture whenever I see him. And what do you think happens when you manifest such a lecture? You're just manifesting your own hypocrisy and your own self-righteousness, that's all. You don't really care for the bloke. Sorry to put it that way. But you know, we have to make a sacrifice. We have to make a sacrifice in Jesus Christ. We have to make a sacrifice in Jesus Christ, manifesting His love through our prayer. To the way in which we speak to those who are with us. God is love. If you know God, how come you're not speaking love? Oh, Jesus has made a spectacular difference in my life. Let me just scold you now. Hello. So the devil comes in and says, see what this fellow is? It's all a hypocrisy. Of course, the devil is saying a lie. But the person who is away from God doesn't know it. But you must understand, you gave him an opportunity to reinforce the wrong beliefs that he has. Why? Because you took the easy way out. You took the fleshly way out. So get on your knees and pray. Get on your knees and fast. Lay your life down for another person. Spend that time for another person. Then you will see God move. And God will move very powerfully. God will move spectacularly. In His time, in His way. You never judge a situation by what seems to be on the outside. You must see things through the eyes of faith. So this life of Jesus is so important, guys. Because it is not just life that comes in a vacuum, it is life that comes with a whole substance to it, right? Of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. What happened when the law was given through Moses? We all found out that the wages of sin is death. But grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. That's what life is all about, the realization of grace and truth. What does truth do? It sets you free. What does grace do? Enable you to do what you can't do. Grace brings God into your life. Grace enables you to do things you would never expect to do in yourself. That's what the Christian life is all about, living in God, living by God, living through God. Because if you look at the life of Jesus, that's what He did. That is what is the testimony of Jesus, realizing what God can do. So when you were born again, God dramatically showed you what He can do with you. But we in our flesh just take it as, now I am going to heaven, so let me just go out and do anything I want to do. It doesn't work like that. No, there are those who come and say, Pastor, do deliverance on me. I'll do deliverance on you, no problem. But what deliverance does, it just breaks strongholds of the enemy. What are you going to do about your character and your nature? What are you going to do about your thinking processes? What are you going to do with about your belief system? All those have to be dealt with through the Word of God. All those have to be dealt with through the testimony of Jesus. You can't be delivered from what you believe. You have to realize a new belief system. You need to understand something. That devil is sitting in your life. That demon is sitting and operating in your life because of what you have allowed it to do. Yes, we can take it out. Yes, we can break the strongholds. But you have to follow through by seeking and realizing the Word of God. You have to receive and realize the Word of God in the testimony of Jesus. If you don't do that, the devil will come back and he will rebuild all of those strongholds and he will manifest an even greater terror on your life. All right? There is a place for deliverance, don't get me wrong. There is a place where we break strongholds of the enemy, yes. But you must understand, you have to go back and build your life in the Word of God. You have to have the courage to spend the time, make the right choices. And if you don't have the courage to do it, ask the Lord for the courage. Hello? Where did Daniel find the courage to walk into a lion's den? Where did Daniel have the courage to sit down and pray and open his windows like he always did? He could have just closed his windows and said, Oh Lord, you can see me even in the dark. Put off all the lights and say, Lord, I will just pray for you in my prayer closet so that nobody will catch me praying. Right? But no, he did not do that. So who gave him the courage to open his windows so that his enemies could see him and plot against him? It was God. Who is going to give you the courage to make the right choices in your life? It has to be God, because God is life. What does that statement mean, guys? God is life. That means absolutely everything in life has to be built and developed in God. Life doesn't come from you. Life doesn't come from me. You don't have to be a space scientist to know that. So if God is life, then everything we do must be built and developed in God. That's what it means to be crucified with Christ. That we no longer live, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And lo and behold, all things are possible. All things are possible. Don't you want that? Aren't you tired of trying your best? Right? Aren't you tired of trying your best? How long do you want to go around the wilderness, guys? How long do you want to find that you grow for 10 months and then you fall the next time you open your big mouth? Somebody provokes you and lo and behold, out comes all the secrets the devil has hidden inside of you. And it all comes up. The four-letter words, everything comes up. All it needs is somebody to provoke you hard enough and it all comes up. So what does that tell you? That those 10 months that you supposedly were growing was all a pretense. That's what it tells you. Hello, am I telling the truth? Because if you really are growing in God, you will not say those kind of words through your mouth. So the life of Jesus. So live the life of Jesus. And you can live the life of Jesus by asking Him to come alive in you. But it has to be objectively done. Because it involves a change of character, involves a change of nature, it involves a change of thinking, it involves a change of attitudes, it involves a change of intents and desires and imaginations and objects and purposes. It involves a new creation, guys, and that's what's exciting about it. The life of Jesus manifests a new creation. Ephesians 2:10. We are created in Christ Jesus, the workmanship of the living God, for good works. So that we can do things the right way for a change. Not do it for the wrong reasons, do it with all the hidden agendas. Praise the Lord. So God took a very talented young man called Moses when he was finished at 80. At 80 he took him and he said, now I'm ready to use you. So unless you die to self, at some level, God cannot begin to use you. And there is a level to which you die to self, where from that point onwards, God will start using you. So you have to realize that level. It may take 2 years, it may take 5 years. It may take 6 months, depending on where you are today. But there is a basic question you must address in your life. Do you really want Jesus in your life? Do you really want to see Him come alive in you? Do you really want to receive and realize of His character and His nature? Let's look at Romans chapter 7. Verse 18. Now this passage is written by the Apostle Paul. He's an apostle of the church. And he's trying to tell you something that I hope you will listen to. Verse 18 says, for I know that nothing good dwells in me. He's talking in a very personal language so that he will get his message across. Now God was using him very powerfully. Wishing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I wish, I do not do. But I practice the very evil that I do not wish. But if I am doing the very thing I do not wish, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. I find then the principle that evil is present in me. I find then the principle that evil is present in me. Now this is the apostle talking. And he's addressing the issues of his life and he's saying, there is evil present in me. I mean, I've met many people who will say, no. I'm okay. I've been spirit baptized, I speak in tongues, you know, I read 3 chapters of the Bible every day. Who are you to tell me that I've got sin in my life? But here's the apostle, and this is what he says. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wishes to do good. For I joyfully conquer with the law of God in the inner man. So what's happened in the inner man? In the inner man, he has received the life of Jesus. In the inner man, he has received the witness and testimony of Jesus. Verse 23, but I see a different law in the members of my body. And we have different kinds of members in our bodies. Our eyes do things that we sometimes can't explain. Our hands do things that we can't explain. Our feet take us to places that we can't explain. Our heart and our emotions desire things that we can't quite explain sometimes. But I see a different law in the members of my body waging war against the law of my mind. That means affecting me in my thoughts. Have you ever been driven to do something? Somebody has to provoke you and out comes out of your word, out of your mouth every word that will destroy completely. Have you noticed that? That is the cultivation of the spirit of murder. But I see a different law, verse 23. I see a different law in the members of my body waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? And then he says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The King James Bible adds this, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Why not after the flesh? Because the flesh is in sin. You cannot by the flesh do what is right. It is impossible to do what is right because your flesh is inundated with your sinfulness. So if you try and try and do something for God in your flesh, you're just kidding yourself. You can't do anything good for God in your flesh. So there are people in the Middle East who are praising God Almighty and murdering men, women and children. And thinking that they are doing it for God. They don't know God, neither do they understand Him. Evil begets evil. The Bible says if you live by the sword, you will die by the sword. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. So arise, brethren, and live the life of Jesus. Practice it. Yes, you will make mistakes. Yes, you will fail. There's nothing wrong with failure. As long as you learn from that failure, as long as you're willing to address that failure. So go before God and address that failure. And ask God for the grace that will change you. Ask for something from God that will remove that failure and turn it into a victory. There's nothing that is impossible with God. He can make a sinner a saint. He can make that camel go through the eye of the needle. Listening? It's time for you and me to discover God, what He has given us in Jesus Christ. It's time for us to live and not allow death to permeate our being. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who indwells you. That word for life there is Zoe, or a derivative of Zoe. So that life God wants to manifest inside of you. So you've got to take a verse like this and energize it by tongues. Asking God to manifest the life of Jesus into your mortal flesh. If your eyes keep looking at the wrong places, then you can energize something from the Lord to turn those eyes around. Right? If your heart has got desires that are not right, you can energize the life of Jesus, the thoughts of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus too had desires for to obey God, desires to be a blessing to God. Right? The word desire is not a bad word by definition. Right? You can have right desires and you can have wrong desires. Wrong desires will take you into the pits of hell. Wrong desires will take you into death and destruction, and it's experiential. But right desires are a very strong motivating force. Love. What can you do with love? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. See, the life of Jesus is manifested in love. Let's see what you can do with love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's look at it from the standpoint of Jesus Christ and what the character and nature of Jesus would bring inside of you, the spirit and life of Jesus would bring inside of you in this reality of love. Let's look at verse 4. Love is patient. Through love you become patient. So if you receive the love of God, you will become patient. Now when we were born again, we received some measure of these things almost instantly. But now God is dealing with our own free will. God is dealing with our character and our nature, and He's making us make choices. So are you willing to pursue the love of the Lord? You know, blood, water and spirit, the witness of life inside of you, is a witness of the cross. It's a manifestation of a pure and perfect love. A love that chose to see your life in a different perspective. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. All right? So let's hear this, okay? Love is patient. And is God patient with us? Immensely patient. Love is kind. So you see someone who is a spoiled brat. And there are lots of adults who are spoiled brats. Are you willing to be kind to them? It's very easy to condemn somebody. I mean, that's no effort at all. That comes with the terrain. That comes with the nature. We can always send people to hell. Love is, that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to send everybody to hell. So you can join with the devil and send them to hell too. And somehow or other we think we are preaching the gospel by doing that. Love is kind and is not jealous. Nobody belongs to you. Your love, your wife, your husband, your kids are all individuals. If you love them, then you will build them so that they will stand before God in their own merits. Love is not jealous. Love does not brag. Right? I'm better than everybody else. Now, how many Christians brag about how superior they are to the non-Christian? That's why we can't preach the gospel. Because we think we are inherently superior to them. We are not. The difference is us in us is Jesus, and Jesus is Jesus. He ain't you and me. Thank God that He's been manifested in us. And that's what makes the difference. So there's nothing to brag about how great you and I are. We are not. We need to be grateful that some measure of Jesus has been manifested in us. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Love does not strut around. Love does not act unbecomingly. Doesn't do the wrong thing. Love does not seek its own. I want this. In this house we shall all do things the way I think so, because I am the head of this house. That's by itself wrong, because God is the head of the house. But anyway. I know what is right for you. If you think about it, I can even be your Holy Spirit. So, what God gave you as free choice, I have chosen in my righteousness to override, because I know what's good for you. Hello. We do it so easily, isn't it? Forgetting that all of us are free will creatures. That you have to receive and realize God in your own free will. It can't be commanded on you, because if it can be commanded, it could be commanded, God would have commanded it a long time ago. He commanded Israel, and look what happened to them. But today we want to command everybody. You do this the way I want it done. All right. Love does not seek its own. Love is not provoked. Hello. Love is not provoked. Don't come and tell me she drove me round the bend and so I exploded. And this happens every 2 days. But you can't understand, Pastor, you know. I was provoked. You know, righteousness flowed out of me and I was provoked. So as the righteous man that I am, I decided to give her a taste of hell. Hello, brothers. Don't create the excuses. You can't run away from it. It does not seek its own. Love is not provoked. Love does not take into account a wrong suffered. I'll repeat that. Love does not take into account a wrong suffered. Now, all this has to come from Jesus Christ, guys. Huh? This is not of our nature. This is a love that we don't know. We have to receive it. Question is, why don't you want to receive it? Now, you can energize all this through tongues. Oh Lord, I just blew my top with my wife and I said things I should not have said. Just go before Him and say, Lord, manifest that strength of Your Spirit in your life that will enable me not to talk like that ever again. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, in any of its forms. So we don't enjoy dirty jokes. But love rejoices with the truth. Love comes in truth, guys. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if you don't realize the truth, you cannot live the life. Love bears all things. So which tells you that with love comes a tremendous strength. Love believes all things. Love is the culmination of pure faith. True faith. Love believes all things, hopes all things. Love endures all things. Love never fails. How would you like that? Love never fails. Now this love is entirely of the character and nature of Jesus Christ. It is not of you, it is not of me. It has to be received, it has to be realized, it has to be lived. You must want it. What is so important about this reality of love? Let's look at Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. From verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. So God is telling you something about what is going to manifest, what He's going to explain later on. Because later on He's going to talk about love. And He's trying to tell you that all of the authority God has over every man, woman and child on planet earth. If you want to ignite that authority and walk into that authority, the key is love. If you want to see that power of God manifest, the key is love. So that's why verse 14 and 15 were written. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, Christian, non-Christian, anything. Verse 16, that He would grant you. God the Father is absolute. Everything depends on Him granting you. Now that's why we pray. That's why we address prayer to the Father. All right? That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. If you want to hear the and understand the deep things of God, it is only going to manifest through love. If you're going to understand the deep things that God has for you, it has to come through love, because it will not open to you without love in your heart. If you don't cultivate love, you cannot grow in God. It is impossible. And to know the love of Christ. Now the purpose of that is that you will know the love of Christ, right? That the love of Christ is what God is talking about, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. If you don't know the love of God, you cannot come to know God. If you do not know the love of Christ, you cannot come to know God. And it's very important for us to know and understand that. Praise the Lord. Can you see that, brethren? It's very categoric, okay? Without love, you cannot be filled to all the fullness of God. So love is very key. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. If you're not prepared to walk in love, you cannot come to know Jesus. Because Jesus is the expression of the Father's love. And the means by which you can communicate with God is through the love that He has given you in Christ Jesus. So you have to live Jesus. And to live Jesus is to realize His love and express His love. You know, in a church, in a Christian ministry, you will always find difficult people. And you have to be prepared to pray for them, and you have to be prepared to love them, you have to be prepared to nurture them. That's why God sends difficult people. There's no such thing as comfortable ministry. You're going to find people who will disagree with you. You're going to find people who will be stumbling blocks. But you have to still find the means by which to minister to them and still press on with what God has put in your heart. That is not easy. I was listening to one of those tapes that I cancelled before because it was a great tape. There were parts of that tape where I manifested in a lot of anger. As I listened to it, as I was looking at some of my past tapes, seeing what I could salvage and put in the tape rack there, I heard myself in anger, and it didn't sound very nice. I probably was provoked by something. Something triggered me in a subconscious plane, and it just manifested that anger. And no matter how righteous our words may sound, our spiritual feelings come out. Now, when Jesus got angry, it was a different kind of anger. But somehow or other, when we get angry sometimes, very often actually, right, it doesn't sound the same thing. As I looked at that, yesterday I prayed and I asked the Lord, "Lord, I pray that I will never preach like that again." Because I said, "Lord, that was a great tape, and I just ruined that tape with just 2 minutes of an explosion." As I heard the words that came out of my mouth in that tape, I said, "Lord, how on earth did I preach those words?" But somewhere along the line, instead of just letting God flow, I decided to come through. And when I came through, it was not nice to hear. Now, we do this all the time in our lives. And we always justify ourselves, you know, "She did this and he did this, and, you know, he shouldn't have said this and he shouldn't have said that." There's no doubt that the person shouldn't have said this and shouldn't have said that. But what you said was also not the right thing to say. Two wrongs never make a right. And if you and I keep on reacting to what wrong things other people say, we will never discover the power of God in our lives. We will keep on dying in our own selves. We will keep on self-destructing. Everything will be destroyed. All right? Praise the Lord. The life of Jesus. The life of Jesus is a disciplined life. Jesus, after a hard day's ministry, made the choice to go and pray. And he didn't pray in an air-conditioned room. He prayed in the middle of nowhere. On rocky grounds, he chose to pray. It was not comfortable. It was not nice. But he chose to do that. Yeah? Are you listening? So we too must make the right choices. In order to make the right choices, we can energize strength from the Lord. To whom would he give knowledge? To whom would he give the message? That's what Isaiah announced in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 9. Before he talked about tongues, he made this the premise of speaking in tongues. He said, to whom would he give the message and to whom would he give the knowledge? I want to take that word knowledge and tell you something about what knowledge is all about. Isaiah chapter 53. Verse 11. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 11. By his knowledge the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many. Amen. By whose knowledge? By his knowledge. Whose knowledge is this? The knowledge of Jesus Christ the Messiah. How do we receive his knowledge? That's why we pray in tongues. Because otherwise intellectually you can't receive it. You have to go beyond what you are in your natural self capable of doing. So you energize it in tongues. You pray in tongues. Lord, let me know the knowledge of him. How would he have dealt with this situation? How would he have spoken to my wife? How would he have spoken to my disobedient son? How would he have spoken to my little kid? How would he have brought up my little kid? Don't assume that we know something in ourselves. We don't. You know, that's one of the biggest lessons to learn in life. I have learned that. God forced me to address that. And I told him face to face, I told him, I know nothing. You know everything, O God. It was a big dressing down for me. Because I always prided myself in what I could learn and what I could do. When God dealt with me, that's where he brought me to. And that's when my whole life and ministry changed. My concept and my thought processes all changed. You know everything, I know nothing. You are God and you are everything. You are every blessing, you know everything. And if I don't bow myself to you and listen to you and receive from you, I can only die. Are you willing to talk like that to the Lord? That is part of being crucified with Christ. Because Jesus Christ said, I can do nothing of myself. John 5:19. John 5:30. Jesus said, I can do nothing on my own initiative. Praise the Lord. God's talking in very clear terms, I think. Right? Are you willing to develop the life of Jesus? Are you willing to discover the life of Jesus? Because the life of Jesus is a beautiful life. It comes with so many things attached to it. A character, a nature, a thinking process, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, power, strength, authority. Everything is there in the life of Jesus. It is a complete life. It is a life through which God will flow into your life. Awesome. The biggest blessing God can give you is his life. But in receiving his life, you must be prepared to die. That's not such a bad idea, guys. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That is what it means to live, to die to self and to live. Right? Don't you want that? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things? How many things can you do today? Let's say you're Einstein and Beethoven rolled into one. Just how many things can you do today? Okay, we'll add Bill Gates to it as well. Since some of you worship at his feet or something like that. So we'll put them all together. Just how much can they do? Can they make one seed and make it grow? Yeah, that young fellow understands that. He said no. Right. Praise the Lord for that. That's why it's easy to preach to kids. And those of you who have got ministries to children, that's a very receptive heart. So teach the right thing. That kid has got amazing potential. Right? Praise the Lord. So So why don't you want Jesus? So when we celebrate Holy Communion, that's the question we're answering. Jesus says, remember me. Right? Are you prepared to remember him through your life? How much of your life is of him? I must have my own way. Come off it, guys. It's time for us to grow up. Right? It's time for us to grow up. Can you imagine if you're bringing up kids and you're trying to tell that kid not to have his own way? That he can't have his own way? And you as a father are having your own way? I mean, it doesn't work. So the kid disobeys you. Right? The kid disobeys you because that is the spirit that you are manifesting. You yourself are of the spirit of disobedience and you want your kid to be obedient. How can like that? That's how things in the spirit realm work. Like produces like. So God said that Adam's son was in his own image, right? In Adam's image, right? So whatever nonsense that Adam did, his son also picked it up. So where does the curse stop? The curse has to start with me. I can't punish my kids when that fault is actually identified in me. I have to deal with the fault in my life and then I can rightfully exercise my authority over my children. Yeah? That's how things work in the spiritual. So if you're a pastor and if you don't exercise change in your life or seek the change in your life, don't expect change in your congregation. It won't happen. Praise the Lord. So Jesus says, remember me. Let's turn to Luke 22. And when the hour had come, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. That's the position Jesus has given us. We can live in this position all the time. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. See, this Passover is given to us. Jesus suffered for it. It was not an easy choice for him to make because in a few hours' time he's going to be in the garden of Gethsemane and he's going to sweat blood. It was not an easy choice. But here you see him full of the Holy Spirit just saying, with fervent desire, I have desired, the King James Bible, to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. What is this Passover all about? All that Jesus is going to give you through his sacrifice. That's what we are talking about today. Will you receive what he gave you through the sacrifice? He suffered to give it to you. You know, sometimes we think God is very harsh when we don't move into the things of God as he wants it. Now, this is the reason why, because you are rejecting someone who had paid the price for you, who had done for you something that you and I will never do in ourselves, or can never do in ourselves. That's why when we choose to live the law instead of living Jesus, it is so wrong. That's why sometimes I seem to come so hard against them. Because to turn down grace and try to live in your own merits, oh my goodness, that's a denial of Jesus Christ's sacrifice. That's the root of it all. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Based on his suffering, all of this Passover will be fulfilled, but we have to go into it. And this Passover will be fulfilled and we will be changed. And we are asked to discover this Passover in the things we do every day. This is not some religious ceremony. This Passover is celebrated where you live, where you open your mouth and talk, where you relate with another person, where you work. Okay. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. We share this in our lives, guys. What we do, how we talk, how we think, how we relate. It is no effort to hate somebody. But it takes a lot of courage to love somebody who has abused you. It takes a lot of courage and strength. Great strength of character to love somebody who despises you, somebody who has cheated you. Now Jesus Christ has chosen to love us. Now all these guys he's celebrating communion with at this point are going to run away. Right? With the exception of John. And the only reason John was there was because he loved him. Because John's heart was open to his heart. So heart to heart. That love, that's why I said love never fails, right? We just read that. See, John loved Jesus and that love never failed. Right? The others loved him in a human sense. Peter loved Jesus too. But in a different sense. But John loved Jesus in a different sense. And so John didn't run away. Surprisingly, the women who were with Jesus also seemed to have loved him in a different way. They didn't run away too. But perhaps the challenge was not very much on them, because in that society, women counted for nothing. So they probably never even noticed the women. But for John to really stand there, it was a remarkable thing. So when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, "Take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God." Now this is what it's all about, the fruit of the vine. I am the vine, you are the branches. Now brethren, if I can live off the vine, I can receive everything, isn't it? Nothing is held back. Because the branch is part of the vine. It is the most natural thing to live that life that comes through the vine. Praise the Lord. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." As Christian families, every one of us is part and parcel of the body of Christ. When we relate to Christians, even with non-Christians, but especially when we relate with Christians, we just can't take, what shall I say? We just can't say and do whatever we want to do. Because they are part and parcel of the body of Christ. "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." There's something of Jesus that is being manifested in each and every one of us. We must respect Jesus in each other. Amen. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." Praise the Lord. The entire new covenant is in the blood. And it's available to us, male, female, our children. That's the potential in our lives. The fact that God has ordained a covenant so complex and so multifaceted that is beyond the intelligence of the collective human race. But this covenant is in the blood. Catch this, please. The reason why it's in the blood is because it is dependent on the faith and love of Jesus. It is dependent on the character and nature of Jesus. It is not dependent on the Christian church. It is not dependent on Moses and Elijah and John and Peter. It is dependent on the blood. And what stands in the blood? Don't substitute that. I hope you, as you keep me, see me reiterating this over and over again, the revelation will come into your heart. It is in the blood, brethren. It is not by the law. It is not by human effort. It is grace upon grace. Praise the Lord. Because he chose to love us. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we bless you and thank you for this communion that you have asked us to partake of, Lord. And in this communion, Father, you have asked us, O God, invited us to become partakers of the divine nature. The nature that was consecrated for us through the cross. The nature that Jesus Christ manifested through suffering and pain. By choosing to forgive us. By choosing to overcome the loneliness of being left by the Holy Spirit. Father, we want to thank you for that immensity of his faith and his love that is available to us in his death. And Father, even as our baptism is based on being immersed into Christ and into his death, we know, Lord, that in his death, the elements by which we will receive and realize resurrection power were unveiled, O God. Forgiveness, faith, love, a perfect character, a thought process entirely in subjection to your will. Everything in him was aligned, O God, to your glory. Everything within him, O God, was aligned, O God, to your will and your purpose. And everything that was within him was given to each one of us, Lord. And that's what we are celebrating in this communion. And so, Father God, it is with gratitude that we come to you and thank you for what you have given us in your Son. And so we pray, Holy Spirit, you who are the Spirit of life, manifest him who is the life into us. Cause us, O God, to realize his fullness and express his fullness into everything that we do every day. Teach us to live Jesus. Teach us to live Jesus in our thoughts, our words, our deeds. Teach us to do what is right before you. So bless and sanctify, therefore, these elements of the bread and wine, that they will be to us by your Holy Spirit. The unveiling of the fullness of Jesus Christ in his flesh and in his blood. We know, Lord, that each one of us is invited to receive, realize, and express growing measures of the fullness of Jesus Christ, so that his fullness will fill all in all. We celebrate that reality manifesting in the body of Christ across the world and in the heavenly places, both Jew and Gentile. And we pray that this manifestation will testify to the world that Jesus is indeed the way, the truth, and the life, that there is no life except in him and by him and through him. And let every facet of our ministry, every facet of our life, every facet of our relationships, every expression of our being, Father, testify of this, so that we will truly be the body of Christ, the witness of him who must fill all in all. We bless you and thank you for this privilege in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you for the living bread that came down out of heaven. Of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. It is that realization that you are calling us to partake of, Father, so that you can manifest in us the substance of the fullness of Jesus Christ, so that you can manifest in us the evidence of him. And in that evidence of him, enable us to realize a totally different life, a new life. And we are thankful and grateful for that life. And we are thankful and grateful, O God, for the sacrifice that stands behind this celebration. It's a celebration of a supreme love. It's a celebration of a supreme faith. It is a celebration of a supreme character and nature. It's a celebration, O God, of a mercy, O God, that we all need. So we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of partaking of the bread of life. The unveiling of Jesus in each one of us in substance. We celebrate this awesome reality in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you for the cup poured out for us in a living witness expressed in a sacrifice. We remember the words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Father, we pray that the witness expressed through us, let it be an expression of love and forgiveness, that we will not take account, O God, of the wrongs we have suffered. But Lord, unveil in us the love of Jesus that will enable us to arise and leave the past and walk into the immensity of the blessings you have given us. For each one of us is a creature of destiny. Let us not trade our destiny for foolish things that were expressed against us in our past. So deliver us from all evil. Deliver us, O God, from our anger and our hate and our unforgiveness and our hurts, Lord. Release us and set us free. We ask this, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.